So interesting title for you today. I was wondering what this message that's been impressed on my heart, what I should call it. I don't want to offend anybody, but it's kind of First John writing to the believers in his community that have been invaded by false teachers who have left and caused division amongst the Christians there. They've taught dualism. They've taught that anything materially is evil. They've taught only spiritually is good, and that Jesus could not be the Messiah because God, who is perfectly holy, could not take residence in a human body, right? Because the human body is material, and that would be evil. So Jesus, therefore, is not the Messiah. And John is refuting this, and he's writing to the church to say, no, the truth that you know from the beginning that you've been taught, as John is, a witness of Jesus Christ in the flesh, Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah, ascended to heaven, died on the cross, rose from the grave. Okay? He is true as true can be. And you know this because of the Spirit that has been planted inside you. You have no need of a secret knowledge, because all knowledge that has been given, that is necessary, has been given to you and is communicated to you through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Born of God, why play with the devil? Reminds me of that game that you used to play on the road as a kid called chicken. Do you ever play chicken? It's like you wait on the side of the road and there's a vehicle coming. And then you wait as long as you can and then you run across without getting hit. I think they thought of the game Frogger from the kids playing chicken. You ever played Frogger? Frogger is a little Atari game. It was a little frog, and you had to jump the frog across busy traffic onto lumber, into lily pads without getting killed. I played Frogger all the time. Born of God, why play with the devil? That's like playing Frogger. That's like playing chicken. How close can I get to playing with the devil without getting burned? Anybody figure that out? How close can we get? Well, the church in John's community invited the devil into the store. They invited him into the church. And I wonder how many got burned. I wonder how many left the church as a result, how the division in the church went, or did they stay together? But John is writing in chapter 3. He's talking about righteousness abiding in Christ, that you are born of God, and that any believer, true believer, Christian, follower of Christ, does not play with the devil. Amen? 1 John goes like this, beginning chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. Talking about the return of Jesus and the resurrection. And that when Jesus returns, he'll call us to glory and we will take on the same form as he is. We will be as he is. 1 John 3:3-4. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin also breaks the law. Sin is the breaking of law. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins. And there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word this morning. Last week, we talked about Samson. We talked about abiding and withering. Which one are we? Are we abiding in Christ or are we withering? As we looked at Samson, what happened to Samson? He began abiding in Christ, in God, but then he began to wither. He began to do what? Play with the devil. Go the direction, go the places that he wasn't supposed to go. He wasn't supposed to touch any unclean thing. He wasn't supposed to touch any dead thing. And Samson did so. He married a foreign woman. The Israelites weren't supposed to do that, but he did so anyways. He wasn't supposed to drink of the vine or any products of the vine because he had taken a vow to be a Nazarite, which means a separated one. But it seems that Samson had a divided heart, a heart grew divided. And maybe he got arrogant, maybe he became prideful. Look what I can do. And he was a judge and a leader of the people. He was looked to decide disputes, make wise choices, and lead the people into prosperity, to follow God. But Samson didn't end up doing that. And the ultimate thing that he did, playing with the devil, was what? Tell me, Samson, what is the secret of your great strength? Once that happened, what should have Samson have done? Left. Fleed. But instead, Samson plays with Delilah and plays a game. And then what happens? Samson lets it slip. If you cut my hair, because it's never been cut, because I'm a Nazarite, and that's part of our vow, I will become helpless, like any other man. What happens? Delilah shaves Samson. He loses his strength, and he's taken by the Philistines and made a mockery of. Where did Samson's strength lie? Wasn't in his hair, was it? The hair was a symbol of God's favor upon him, of God's blessing, of God's strength, of God's power. And Samson played the game with the devil, and he got shaved. He lost. What do we learn from that? If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. We all know that. Is it any different for a Christian? Jesus says, don't test. Don't tempt. Because you're going to get burned. Was Samson a saint who sinned or a saint who practiced sinning? Did you catch that? Was Samson a saint who sinned, or was Samson a saint who practiced sinning? Is there a difference? There is a difference. See, the thing here is that the first idea is one who sins from time to time. The second idea is one who makes sinning their habit, their way of living. So was Samson a saint who sinned, or was Samson a saint who practiced sinning? Abraham, Moses, King David, Peter, and Paul all had something in common. What was it? Sin. They were all sinners. Okay? But were they saints who sinned, or were they saints who practiced sinning? Saints who sinned. Right? Do you always do as you're supposed to do? No, we don't, right? We talked about it last week. When God tells you to do something, when Jesus communicates with you, when the Holy Spirit speaks, we always listen. We may always listen, or we may not, but do we apply what we hear? Is the question. So are you a saint who sins, or are you a saint who practices sinning? The Apostle Paul states in Romans 3:23, what is Romans 3:23, anybody? I'll give you a candy. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John states clearly in 1 John 1:8 to 10 that he who states that he is without sin is a liar and makes Jesus a liar, and Jesus' word is not in him. Okay? If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Jesus stopped the stoning of the woman caught in adultery by challenging the religious authorities with the truth about man. He who is without sin cast the first stone. Okay? When they persisted in questioning Jesus, he stood up and said to them, "The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her." When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman in the center. And what did Jesus say? "Is there no one that has condemned you?" "No, I don't condemn you either. Therefore, go and sin no more." The wisdom of Solomon states that there is no man or woman that has lived or lives who is without sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20, there is certainly no righteous man on the earth who does good and never sins. So is man a sinner? Yes. Are Christians sinners? Yes. Bing, 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 bing. Is it then possible to be a Christian and yet practice sinning? Ooh. Getting a little bit uncomfortable? Is it possible to be married yet have ongoing sexual relationships with other men and women? Is possible? Is it wise? No. Is it possible to call oneself a Christian but not gather with the body or the church, or to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Truth is, I've met many a person who has professed to be a Christian, but yet they have stopped or do not attend church. What does the word say? Are they truly a Christian and a follower of Christ? How does one reconcile with the Bible's teaching from Hebrews 10:24 through 25 to not neglect meeting together, which is considered sinful and an item of judgment. Well, let's see that. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is the day? The end of the age, when Jesus returns. Hebrews 10, 26, 27. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Okay, a little bit uncomfortable. Why is abandoning the community of believers considered sinful an item of judgment? It is to intentionally choose to fall away, to leave, or commit apostasy. That's the extreme case. It is to reject and ignore Jesus' command to do what? To be one and love one another. Jesus said to his disciples, you must love one another. How can you love one another if you never come together? Right? John 17, 20 to 21, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. So if the church is not one together, if brothers and sisters are not one together, we've damaged our testimony. Our witness is no good. Because how can we proclaim a love of Christ when we can't love one another and be together? How can I, John 13, 34 to 35? I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How can you sharpen, correct, and build one another up if you're not living in community? Is it possible? It's not. It's not. Because you and I will develop a trait of our character that I'm always right. That I've got it all together. And that those people don't. And that they're wrong. Wouldn't that be an embarrassing moment when you got to come face to face with Jesus, as everybody will be, and he points out something that a brother and sister was trying to point out? Would that be pretty embarrassing? Because we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, right? But we don't want to hear what was said in Revelation to the churches. But I have this against you. It is to intentionally choose to fall away and commit, leave, and commit apostasy. How can we sharpen one another and build one another up if we're not living in community? How can you stay on the narrow path with no one to pick you up, redirect you, and encourage you to keep going? There is a reason why Jesus and his apostles address and identify his disciples as what? The body, the church, and what? The bride. The body, the church, and the bride. Being a follower of Christ is a collective, relational, plural life of living in community. What do we like to do in the West? We talked about it last week. We like to do the Lone Ranger thing, right? But Christianity is not a Lone Ranger, if you want to say religion, because our God is a triune God. Our God lives in community with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he says, I created you in my same image. So what does that mean? We're to be communal as well. Isn't it interesting that God is one in three and three in one? And then he made the family to be of three. God, the dad, and the mom. or the dad, the mom, and the kids. There's threes everywhere. To abandon the community of believers is to choose to become separate from the bride of Christ, where one experiences the love of Christ, or should experience the love of Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit, accountability, encouragement, and fellowship. It is to become like an unbeliever and to crucify Christ all over again. This is what John says. Hebrews 6:4-6, for it is impossible to renew to repentance those who were once enlightened, who tasted the heavenly gift, became companions with the Holy Spirit, tasted God's good word and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away because, to their own harm, they are re-crucifying the Son of God and holding him to contempt. The author of Hebrews compares one who abandons fellowship to land that fails to produce a crop and instead bears thorns and thistles. Having drunk the rain of the gospel, experienced Jesus' grace, have they allowed themselves to be cultivated by it? If so, they will bear useful fruit and be blessed by God and others as well. If not, they will bear thorns and thistles and be deemed worthless, cursed, and burned in Christ's judgment to come at the end of this age. That's not me speaking. That's God's word. Hebrews 6:7-8. For ground that has drunk the rain, that has often fallen on it, and that produces vegetation useful to those it is cultivated for, receives a blessing from God. But if it produces thorns and thistles, it is worthless and about to be cursed and will be burned at the end. Born of God, being of the devil. So is it possible to be born of God and yet practice sin? Back to what? Does a saint sin? Or does a saint practice sinning? One that is born of God cannot practice sinning, John says. Is it possible to be an adulterer but yet still be married? Is it a Christian who rejects community a follower of Christ? Is it possible to be a true believer of Christ but yet lie continuously, indulge in the world, and give control and direction for our lives to our lust and desires? Is it possible? The teaching of the false teachers who invaded this community of believers that John is addressing taught that to sin in the body was no big deal. This is their dualism that they are teaching. Since anything of the body is evil and anything of the spirit is spiritual, there can be no cross-contamination, no consequences. Just do it. John says, no, that's not true. 1 John 3:9, everyone who has been born of God does not sin because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. What is the seed? The Spirit. Because once you commit to Christ and you believe in Christ and you have faith in Christ, then his seed is planted in you and remains in you. And you cannot possibly continue to sin. On the surface, what John says seems troublesome. If there is indeed no one without sin, and to deny we have no sin is to be a liar, we make Jesus a liar, and we do not have the word of God in us, then I am not born of God. I am not born again, regenerated, justified, and sanctified because I sin. Jesus' seed, the Holy Spirit, has not taken root if I sin. If this is the case, then no one will inherit God's kingdom. Not Abraham, Moses, King David, Peter, or Paul. No one. To have sin is to not know Jesus, have known Jesus, or have even seen Jesus, John says. To have sin is to have never known fellowship with Jesus, nor relationship with Jesus. Have we sinned? Yes, we do. We agreed. We have sinned, right? Yes, therefore, we do not know Jesus because Jesus hates sin, but yet he loves the sinner. What are we to do with this? He died on the cross for sinners. He took upon his very being our sin and paid the price of death. He reconciled us to life through his shed blood. How do I reconcile this seemingly contradiction? What the Apostle John means to say, as a result of translating Aramaic into Greek, into English, you can check this, is that the word sin here means practice sinning. Making sin your life and your lifestyle is to be a child of the devil, John says. Do I make sin my lifestyle? Is that what I'm chasing after? One born again, born of God, does not continue to practice a life of sin, a life of rebellion against the ways, commands, will, and love of Christ. To practice sinning in the body indeed does have eternal consequences. 1 John 3:7-8, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God is revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. That word sin, who commits sin is of the devil, practicing sin. As a Christian, am I actively practicing sin? Practicing rebellion against God, against his ways, against his commands, against what he advises. If that is the case, guess what? We're playing with the devil. We're playing with fire. Because he says, by the end of the age, when I return, if you're playing with the devil and you practice sinning, you will be called to account, and you will probably come up short. One of the biggest complaints about the church is what? Hypocrisy. What are they saying? You talk about God, you go to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week you're doing what? You're playing with the devil. Practice sinning. Now, what does John not say here? What does John not say? He's saying if you have sin, or you sin, and it's not intentional, it's not something that you're actively pursuing, right? Maybe it's a habit that you're overcoming, but you're working on it. That is a saint who sins, but is not a saint who is practicing sinning, living a lifestyle of sin, of rebellion after God. There's the difference. That's what John is talking about. And what these false teachers have done, they've moved in, and they were teaching that, you know what, the sin in the body is no big deal. Just go ahead and do it. You remember Nike back in the 80s? What was their advertising campaign? Just do it. I still have a t-shirt at home that says just do it on it. That is what this world says. Just do it. If it feels right, just do it. Because there is no consequence. Your truth is your truth. It may be different from everybody else's truth, but it's your truth, so live it. What do you think Jesus would say to that? What does John say about it? It's not true. To practice sinning in the body indeed does have eternal consequences. You'll be destroyed like the devil. 1 John 3:9-10, everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. This is how you tell the difference. Who's following after who? Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother. What was the other signifying fact for John that these teachers were false? They didn't love their brothers. They didn't love this congregation. They just came in and preached condemnation. He said, we got the secret knowledge. You guys have nothing. If I speak without love, I'm what? A gong. I'm a clanging cymbal, he says. The one who does not do right and continues to live willfully sinning against Christ is following the devil. God considers that person the devil's child. There's no middle ground. There's no fence sitting. To abide in Christ is reject practicing sin spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The Apostle Paul affirms that the body itself is not sinful because we are told not to call evil what God has made, and God has made us in his image, and that everything that God created is good. Acts 10:15, Genesis 1:31, Isaiah 5:20. Paul also encourages us to not let sin reign or rule in our physical bodies, because our bodies are to be what? Instruments of righteousness, not unrighteousness. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, bought and paid for by Christ on the cross. Romans 6:12-13, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its desires. And do not offer any parts of it as to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God, and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who's within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So are we born of God, or are we playing with the devil? 1 John 3:6, everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or know him. What's he saying there? If you're actively practicing rebellion against God, sin, you don't know him and you haven't seen him. And you don't remain in him. So we need to change. John tells us that Jesus came and died for two reasons. What were the reasons? To take away sins and destroy the works of the devil. What is one of the works of the devil? To convince us that it's okay to live a life of sin and proclaim allegiance to Christ. That's living a life of dualism, of hypocrisy. The enemy knows there is no power in a mere proclamation of belief in Jesus. He even believes that Jesus is who he is. He knows it, but does he follow Jesus? The devil does not. Belief has to result in action. Action reveals our beliefs. What do I believe about Jesus? The logic of obedience says that a person will obey whoever he or she belongs to. Do you agree with that? You obey whoever you belong to. Who do I belong to? Pastor Warren Wiersbe is quoted as saying, if a man knows God, he will obey God. If he belongs to the devil, he will obey the devil. Are we born of God, or are we playing with the devil? So then how does a true believer overcome the desires of their old nature, the old man living within us? The Apostle Paul encourages us in Romans 12:1 to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. What does that look like? How do you offer your body as a living sacrifice? How do you do that? Anybody? Maybe you do that today. Do you offer prayers? Do you listen to God? Do you sing praises? Do you serve? When you see somebody else that's down and out, and do you love them? Maybe even somebody that you don't know is a stranger. Do you love them? Do we do what Jesus did or would do? Do we depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us? Do we hide the Word of God in our hearts? Do we believe that no temptation has come upon us, that Jesus has not provided a way of escape, conquering, and or enduring? 1 Corinthians 10:13? Do I make confession of sin a daily practice of my life? Do I take every thought, word, and deed captive to Christ and seek forgiveness? When temptation comes, do I play with it or do I flee from it? Am I Joseph or am I Samson? Joseph did what? When Pharaoh's wife came upon him, he did what? He ran naked as he was born. What did Samson do? He entertained. He sat and played with the devil. A true believer does not practice sin, but instead takes sin to the cross of confession and forgiveness. We believe we have the seed of the Holy Spirit within us and decide to walk in the power of the seed of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle John says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. Am I a saint who sins, or am I a saint who practices sinning? Do I love Jesus, or am I playing with the devil? Abide in Jesus, walk in the Spirit, and be blessed by the Father.